We are going to check in with Joseph Lindsley, live from Ukraine. Joseph, are you there?
Yes, Wendy. Hello from Kyiv. On today is the eve of tomorrow is Ukrainians' Independence Day.
Oh,
and it's a beautiful. So you know, something that you know we always talk about on such holidays. You know, in America, you know, how do we remember what these holidays mean? Well, you know, when you're in an existential war, you know, to exist in a free country, a day like Independence Day really means a lot, of course. And this is, you know, and the reason why, I mean, today is Independence Day was because 33 years ago, Ukrainians declared independence from the Soviet Union. And, you know, this was, a lot of this gets forgotten, but President George H.W. Bush, a few months before, in 1991, he came to Kyiv in a speech that was partially written by Condoleezza Rice, and he urged the Ukrainian people not to be independent from Moscow, to stick with Moscow. And the people resoundingly said, no, you know, for centuries, we've been wanting our own national identity. We've been wanting to protect our freedom. We've been wanting not to be controlled by czars, by Stalin, by any tyrant in the Kremlin. And so on August 24th, Ukrainians declared their independence, and that's what will be celebrated tomorrow. And today, in a pretty symbolic visit, you have the Prime Minister of India, Narendra Modi, is here in Kyiv today. In fact, as I was running this morning through the central part of Kyiv, past the Golden Dome churches and along the river, I saw lots of Indian journalists are here. And this is the first time an Indian prime minister has ever visited Ukraine. And it's very notable because Prime Minister Modi is, you know, he recently was in Moscow. He's kept a close relationship with Putin. You know, India is, you know, one of the most, you know, now one of the most economically powerful and largest countries in the world. And India has sort of been in the in-between. I mean, India has been importing a lot of gas from Russia. So where Russia has suffered from sanctions from the West, countries like India have plugged in the gap and have become great allies of Russia. And when Prime Minister Modi was in Moscow, President Zelensky said, "What a shame for the world's largest democracy, for the leader of the world's largest democracy to be meeting with one of the with the bloodiest tyrant of our times." And despite that, so Modi is here today. And so, you know, there's, you know, seeing, you know, what will come of this visit, you know, a lot of suspicion, but also, you know, hope that maybe this could help him see, you know, what Ukraine really is now that he's actually here, here to see it. And he even, I just saw a photo where he had his arm around President Zelensky. They went to a memorial for children who've been killed, and Prime Minister Modi put some toys before that, in honor of these kids who've been killed. And so, you know, perhaps as with so many who've actually, once they come here to Ukraine and see what, you know, what this country is and the free spirit of it, maybe that will, you know, transform some hearts and minds.
So how do people in Ukraine celebrate Independence Day? Will there be a parade? Will there be cookouts?
Well, you know, in the olden times of peace, of course, there would have been parades. And but the main thing is what Ukrainians call the shezhlik, which is a barbecue. And especially if you live outside of the city, most people have a little gazebo in their garden or in the backyard called an altanka. And you gather in the gazebo for a feast, usually with some pork, lots of fresh vegetables and produce. But certainly pork is usually a staple. And so, yeah, they have a barbecue. And there will be lots of that. You know, people, you know, you need these moments when people gather together. But, you know, obviously in wartime, celebrations are always subdued to a large degree. And, you know, we have, while Ukrainians are still holding ground in Kursk, amazingly, now more than 2 weeks, we have a very terrible situation in the east, in Donbass. That city of Pokrovsk, which I visited before, it was about 60,000 people before the war. A pleasant city of like wide streets and birch trees, and just a pleasant place in the beautiful fields of Donbass. The Russians are so close to that city now, just about 5 or 6 miles, that the Ukrainian military is they're pulling back so they don't get encircled, and as a result, the people are evacuating the city. And there were still many people living there. I mean, because it was a real, it is a logistics hub here in the wartime. And so the civilians have to evacuate now. You know, obviously, usually some old folks tend to stay behind, but really heartbreaking to see this. And I saw a video of a young woman, probably in her late 20s, and she was being interviewed as she was preparing to leave with her family to leave the city, and in Ukrainian. And the interviewer said, you know, what's your message to Russia? And she said, I want them to burn in hell. And then she covered her mouth. You know, she felt bad speaking so in such a nasty manner. Uh-huh. But she, you know, so she still has her Ukrainian politeness, but you know, she was, you know, so devastated that she has to leave. And then she apologized. She said, I'm sorry. She said, I am emotionless. We believe our Pokrovsk will survive and we will be able to return home. And interestingly, the name of that city, Pokrovsk, you know, in the Soviet times, the communists in Moscow removed, they changed the names of most places, you know, as they did with St. Petersburg, you know, calling things Stalingrad and Leningrad. And they did that throughout Ukraine. But once Ukraine had its revolution in 2014 and got its freedom, you know, really its independence, the real independence in 2014 from Moscow control, they began to return the names of these places to their ancient meanings. And Pokrovsk comes from a... it's a religious term. It's like a covering or a protection. It comes from the idea of the mother of God is a protector and the intercessor. So that's the name of this city that today is being evacuated urgently. Supermarkets are closed. You know, you don't see this very often in Ukraine, but the whole city is shutting down because the Russians are pushing in. And meanwhile, you know, as we've talked about, in the past several days, there have been lots of drone activity. Will there be some major attack? It's been more than 2 weeks. Ukrainians are on Russian soil, and Russia has not answered that in a big way. But we do know here, Wendy, today in Kyiv, I can say confidently, there will, I mean, since you say something like this, you never know. But the fact that the Indian prime minister, who's sort of pals with Putin, is here in Kyiv today, there will be no missile strikes on Kyiv today. We know that for sure.
Oh, that's good. At least some peace today. CNN is reporting that parents are hiding their children from local authorities to avoid that mandatory evacuation. That's got to be just so frightening.
Yeah, I mean, it always comes down to a personal decision for people. And, you know, I mean, the Ukrainians don't want to leave their homes and their land. And that's part of the reason why, you know, they're still here after 2.5 years. But at the micro level, in these very dangerous moments, you see it. You know, and then there's always the people that don't evacuate when they can. Then when things get worse, you end up putting volunteers, often Americans and others who come here to help, in jeopardy.
Yes.
You know, so that you know, it's no. And it's just, we see this in Kharkiv City. People, like, they know that staying there, even just living there, is an act of resistance. And so there is something to be said for staying there. Unfortunately, in this little city, it's not going to be viable right now.
All right. Well, I hope you have a peaceful weekend and some kind of good pork barbecue for Independence Day. And we will speak again on Monday, Joseph.
Until Monday. Thank you, Wendy.